Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 2, The Dynasties of the Sons of Manu. We will be reading from text 10 through 14. Text 14 carries the purport by Srila Prabhupada, so that will be the verse we will be reciting together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I will read text 10, 11 and 13 and then we will recite together text 14. Evam shaptastu guruna pratyagrinat kritanjali adharayadvratam vira urdvareta muni priyam. When the hero Prishadra was thus cursed by his spiritual master, he accepted the curse with folded hands. Then, having controlled his senses, he took the vow of brahmacharya, which is approved by all great sages. Vasudeva bhagavati sarvatmani parimale ekantitva gato bhaktya sarvabhuta suhritsama vimukta sanga shantatma samyatakshu parigraha yat richa yupapanena kalpayan vrittimatmana atmanyatmanamadhaya jnana tripta samahita vichachara mahim etam jadandha badirakriti. Thereafter, Prishadra gained relief from all responsibilities, became peaceful in mind, and established control over all his senses. Being unaffected by material conditions, being pleased with whatever was available by the grace of the Lord to maintain body and soul together, and being equal toward everyone, he gave full attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, who is a transcendental supersoul, free from material contamination. Thus, Prishadra, fully satisfied in full knowledge, always keeping his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, achieved pure devotional service to the Lord and began traveling all over the world without affection for material activities, as if he were deaf, dumb, and blind. Text 14. Evam vrita vanam gatva drishtva dava agnim utitam tena upayukta karana brahma prapa param muni evam vritovanam gatva drishtva davagni mutitam tenopayukta karano brahma prapa param muni evam vrita. Being situated in such an order of life, vanam, to the forest, gatva, after going, drishtva, when he saw, dava agnim, a forest fire, utitam, existing there, tena, by that fire, upayukta karana, engaging all the senses of the body by burning, brahma, transcendence, prapa, he achieved, param, the ultimate goal, muni, as a great saintly person. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. With this attitude, Prishadra became a great saint, and when he entered the forest and saw a blazing forest fire, he took this opportunity to burn his body in the fire. Thus, he achieved the transcendental spiritual world. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divam evam yoveti tattvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma na iti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Vrishadra, because of his karma, was cursed to take his next birth as a Shudra. But because he took the saintly life, specifically concentrating his mind always upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became a pure devotee. Immediately after giving up his body in the fire, he reached the spiritual world, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Mameti. As a result of his devotional situation, devotional service performed by thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so powerful that although Prishadra was cursed, he avoided the terrible consequence of becoming a Shudra and instead returned home back to Godhead. As stated in Brahma Samhita 554, Yastindra Gopa Matavindra Mahoswa Karma Bandhanu Rupa Palabhajana Matanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Those who engage in devotional service are unaffected by the results of their material activities. Otherwise, everyone, from the smallest microbe up to the King of Heaven, Indra, is subject to the laws of karma. A pure devotee, being always engaged in the service of the Lord, is exempt from these laws. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shilagya Chaksurun Militam Yenatasmai Shri Guruvai Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yatkripatamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Panchakalpatarubhyas Chakripa Sindubhyai Vacha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnabe Vyo Namo Namaha Ningama Kalpataror Galitam Palam Shuka Mukadamrita Dravasam Yutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Muhur Ahur Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. So there are many verses that we are dealing with today, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. And in each one of them there are many subject matters being mentioned, and all of them very important. Srila Prabhupada chose to speak mainly on this last one, 14, about karma. So we will, and specifically about the karma in relationship to devotees. So this has always been a very puzzling point, for example, in our movements. What is the situation of a devotee in relationship with karma? And everybody's wondering, and it is understood that at the time of initiation, once karma is wiped away, then the example of the fan is given, that you take the juice away, you take the electricity, cut the electricity, and still the fan would continue. Prabhupada gave this example, but you know that there's no more juice to it. It will sooner or later totally stop. So we have brought some quotes. Still, don't be afraid, we'll try to make it by 6 o'clock. Although Maharaj authorized us the other day to go hours and hours on end, Srimad Bhagavatam. I saw some faces being made when I came in with so many books. I hope there were symptoms of ecstasy at sea in the transcendental literature. So in text 10, Urdhvareta, Vratam Vira Urdhvareta. So this Vratam combined with Urdhvareta means Brahmacharya. Vrata, as we know, is vow. Then Urdhvareta here is mentioned as having controlled his senses. This is a very important point, especially for us inhabitants of the Western world, that Urdhvareta, controlling the senses, which is translated here like that, means that the Urdhva means to go up. So reta means the semen. Yes. So urdhva reta means that the semen has to go up. So that is the meaning of spiritual life. So every time, first point mentioned here, that every time spiritual life, the real thing is mentioned, the real spiritual life, this point comes up, urdhva reta, that one has to be brahmachari. Very important point. So everybody shakes at this. When we first hear about this point, it becomes very disturbing. And the other day someone bought in a 50-cent sale a third canto, part 4, Lord Kapila this. I believe it was in some university or something. You know that kind of sale, 50 cents. So someone bought for 50 cents a second-hand Bhagavatam 3-4, Lord Kapila this. And I can't remember who was it, and he showed me the book. in the book you would see, of course it was a book from university, I think it was UCLA, so the student, someone there, had it scribbled all around the edges, where, whenever Prabhupada would say something, then the person would circle and, point out and write his own purport commentary on it. So of course, of all books, this person got Lord Kapila's book, all the explanations he gives there. And you may remember what are the instructions of Lord Kapila there. And he speaks there of man in general, that she should not become a dancing dog in the hands of women. And they're very nice things being expressed, because Lord Kapila was not one-sided. Our philosophy is not one-sided. And there it also explains that woman also should be very careful in seeing her husband and household paraphernalia like that. To see it, women should be very careful to see it as the sweet sound of the flute of the hunter, of the flute of the hunter that is hunting the deer. So, flute sound is very nice. So in the same way, it is the normal tendency that woman feels sheltered at home. It is the arrangement of nature that, generally speaking, normal women, they need protection. So now we are creating in Western world abnormal women. So they feel they don't need protection. It is just a trick, as Srila Prabhupada said. Because as we all experience, relationship with women, correct relationship, accepted relationship means marriage. And married life is such a difficulty. There are so many responsibilities, especially on the part of man, because the usual arrangement is that mother, she stays at home. And then man has to go out and work, and there's so many responsibilities. So of course, very late, man comes to the conclusion that was it really worth it? Was it really worth this married life? Because he got into it, as it is explained in 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that in Kali Yuga, which is this age of Aquarius that we are living in, it is explained that marriage is just going to be arranged by word of mouth, and by liking. And as Prabhupada always said, liking means next moment disliking. So very soon the reality of this combination, man and woman, becomes a fact to everyone, both devotees and non-devotees alike, what the real thing is all about. And therefore, clever modern man, he has invented divorce, all the way to pressing it and pushing it even into religious world, into religious, just like the Pope. He was recently around here, and he was so much criticized because he's against so many of this uncivilized decisions. So he's being put under a lot of pressure to submit to, what they call the rights, equal rights of women and homosexuals and all these kind of things. So you'll know about this. Anyway, so this is a very unfortunate situation of the modern world, and we have to live within it. Anyway, so in Bhagavatam it is explained that it is a symptom of Kali Yuga to marry just by agreement. So unfortunately, we even see this in our movement. So we should try to help in introducing the real system of human life, because that is the only thing that will help human beings. If we do not present it ourselves, then there's no one to be presented. And if we ourselves adopt the ways and means of the karmis, then what hope is there for anyone? So, one should not marry by agreement, but one should marry legally and have the Agnihotra. These things were instituted by Srila Prabhupada, and they're very important if we are at all going to have some kind of peace and true spiritual life. More than peace, we should think of true spiritual life, because a peaceful situation is definitely not possible, truly speaking, from the material point of view. It is not possible to have a peaceful situation in this material world. Anyway, we have the opportunity that if we present this Krishna conscious philosophy, presented means that we live it, not that we just speak it, but it has to be lived, and there's so many aspects to it that involves, as we all know, everything from morning to evening, everything, even how we have to sleep is controlled by Vedic life. And we do so many things. You see, this was always unheard of. How to control your dreams. You see? Just like now you can choose a video and see what you want to see. So in the same way, you can control what you want to dream tonight. That's why we have like Krishna book reading. We should, before going to sleep, try to be in a proper frame of mind. Of course, I'm just trying to put an example. Still, we may have bad dreams. In Bhagavatam 8th canto, Srila Prabhupada explains this, how even the spiritual master has to see bad dreams because of the activities of his disciples, wrong activities. So bad dreams are there even for the spiritual master, Prabhupada says. So, but still we can do all what is in our hands, and that is our position, to do all what we can. After we do all what we can, the fruit is left in the hands of Krishna. Whether we are successful or not, our success is that we did what we could. Just like to say that, for example, the success in preaching and in Sankirtan, generally speaking, we see the success when the devotee, we want to measure the success when the devotee comes back. But actually the true success is when he leaves for preaching. It was successful. The real success, like for example of Sankirtan, is that they all went out in the morning. So already it was successful. This is according to Prabhupada's standard and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Just like Prabhupada said that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would be pleased when his disciples would come back and say that they had distributed, what was that? One magazine. No? So even one magazine distributed, he was satisfied. In the same way, Prabhupada mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the spiritual master is satisfied not with amount of money, but with the advancement, spiritual advancement of the disciples. So, we have to do what we can. We have been left with such an important responsibility. Actually, it is like someone who has been left, that father was a millionaire. You see, this is exactly our situation in relationship to Srila Prabhupada, which is also creating so much doubts in the minds of so many people that Prabhupada was so great, but what is the size of his disciples? So this is creating so many doubts nowadays. And it is a fact, it is true, yes, that Prabhupada is just like someone whose father is a great, great millionaire. He made the money. Now the other person is just there to use it. Prabhupada says, what he calls this, he says that the person was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. So we see that we are like that. We have been left with, Prabhupada said, now we have so much prestige. Now we have such a big institution and is respected in the world. So he many times said with these words, I am very much hopeful. I am very much hopeful that when I leave, he said, now I'm an old man and the notice is already there. I may leave at any moment. But I am very much hopeful that my sons and daughters, my disciples, they will carry on. So Srila Prabhupada entrusted us with this billions of opulences, spiritual opulences. We have such a great thing, something very special that we have to give to the people and for ourselves. And but there is a way of living within this Krishna consciousness movement so that it really becomes successful. Just like there is no doubt that we are millionaires, spiritually speaking, there is no doubt that Prabhupada has given us and left for us such a nice, big, great thing as this Krishna consciousness movement. But as the millionaire's son, he can do one of two things. Either use it properly and even increase it, or either squander it. So that possibility is there. Prabhupada left us, just like many of us already, even while Prabhupada was present, we had the experience of what? Of even being like this, being guru. Even in the presence of Prabhupada, almost every single one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples was faced at some point in life in being the representative of Krishna consciousness. And not only some of us, not only probably once, but so many times that we may have had that whatever we said was like an absolute thing to be accepted by people in general. How many times we have been in colleges, how many times we have been preaching, and whatever we said was so important, because actually we are dealing with the real life of people. We have the lives of people in our hands. It's not like a university teacher, like when we have gone to colleges and universities, we are there side by side with the teacher that invited us. So it's a complete different thing, you see. He truly does not have in his hands the true life of these people. But what he's speaking of is just something very external and temporary. But what we are speaking, we touch the soft point. We are directly dealing with their lives, and whatever we say is very important. So no matter what is our position in the spiritual life, whether we are Uttamas, Kanishtas, or Madhyams, or whatever, it is the nature of Prabhupada's movement and of this Vaishnava philosophy, that especially in the form of this ISKCON movement, that we are being requested and put and forced into the position. It is a risk that we have to take. We cannot avoid it. Just like Srila Prabhupada speaks in Nectar of Devotion, and there's also a tape. In Nectar of Devotion, he explains how sometimes a sannyasi, he may take a risk on taking so many disciples. So, of course, this sannyasi that is explained there, it would be no risk if we are speaking of someone like Srila Prabhupada. So obviously there are so many degrees of devotees and spiritual life, just like we just read, I believe, yesterday, that this guru, and of all gurus, his name is Vasishtha, such a famous personality, still he was not free from tamoguna. It was just read yesterday. It appears that Vasishtha, Srila Prabhupada says here, was not free from tamoguna, the mode of ignorance. But still, there is a duty. We may find ourselves, like Prabhupada says, when the curtain is open, it is not time to draw the veil, because he gives this example that a woman, as we know in Vedic culture, she should always keep her hair covered. So Prabhupada gives the example that one girl became ashamed, so it is not time to become ashamed that she was acting. Once you're in the stage and you're acting, then she had to be without the veil, and all her elders were there. So she became blushed. She blushed that, so if he had the intention, she wanted to draw, to put her, the veil on top of her, but it is not time. So, in the same way, we may feel so inadequate, so, lacking in so many ways that is actually good. So still we may truly feel lacking, but still we have to do it and take the risk, all of us, to be preaching very boldly. This was a very bold movement. It was very, we were known by being bold, especially in preaching. And we should not lose that self-confidence. Of course, that self-confidence came because we were completely sure of Srila Prabhupada, of his position. So we felt so assured. So Prabhupada would be very disappointed that now we would not be assured, feel confident about the literature, about his literature, about the devotees, about his movement. We have to continue along and be very strong about it. And everything comes from acting in the proper way, sticking. As I was mentioning the other day, it was predicted by Srila Prabhupada in fourth canto that when a personality like himself leaves, there is chaos. So what is happening is just we are fulfilling Prabhupada's words in Srimad Bhagavatam. It was expected. But there he gave the solution, and the solution is that the sincere followers, they stick and they solve the situation. So how is the situation being solved? By sticking to the kind of life. And I digress so much, but going back, that kind of life begins with Urdhvareta, in one sense, when we are finally, because it really begins with eating prasadam and chanting and associating with devotees and like that. Adoshradha, it begins with faith. But then when we truly want to get into the spiritual life proper, especially, then we immediately have to come to this very careful dealing, control of the relationship between man and woman. This is the meaning of Urdhvareta. Urdhvareta means it is not that there are certain personalities that they're made, their skin is different or their body is different, therefore they can become brahmacharis. This is not the example. It is not that, oh yes, Nara Narayan, they're brahmacharis, but you know who they are, they're Krishna. So is it that only Krishna or someone like Bhishma, or is this just left for that kind of people? If it was so, then there is no possibility of spiritual life. Nowadays, some devotees are feeling discouraged and truly thinking and even expressing that true Krishna consciousness, it is not possible. It is not possible. They are already giving up before even beginning the battle. This is what displeased Srila Prabhupada very much. Srila Prabhupada was very proud, and he thought that he really had transformed his disciples, and he would put them as examples everywhere. He was very proud of his disciples that just see how they have abandoned everything. He saw it as, so this Krishna consciousness movement is something very possible. It's not utopia. It is not a life of utopia. So this Urdhvareta, it is not meant just for few personalities. We may say, well, it's miraculous. How can this person be a brahmachari? Why? Because he lives in a special way. That is the secret, the miracle. He lives his whole life from morning to night is in a special way. Therefore, we have ashram. We call the temple also an ashram, a shelter, that at least within ourselves, we have to help each other by having the proper dealings. Srila Prabhupada even became disturbed in Mayapur. I wasn't there, I was told this story, but it's very famous, I've heard it from so many devotees, I don't know any of you who was there, that he was coming back from a morning walk, and he saw husband and wife speaking something in the field there in Mayapur, just talking, and Prabhupada immediately became disturbed, and chastised them. So, even husband and wife, there is some decor, there is some etiquette in behavior, as to not agitate the minds of the people. There is nothing strange that people may not be able to remain brahmacharis. Actually, everybody is supposed to be brahmachari. In our movement, Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that our grihastas, they're called grihastha brahmacharis. And we should make Srila Prabhupada's words true. And the way that this happens, how is this possible? Because there is some kind of life, a specific way of life. You cannot live like ordinary people and think you're going to be special. We're all made of the same flesh. So there is no, the miracle comes. That's why it says in scriptures, ninth canto, we will come sometime to this verse. It is in this ninth canto that one should even be very careful in associating with his mother, his daughter, his sister. Just imagine. Because and it says there, one may think, when reading this verse, one may think that yes, because there's so many shudras out there, that, you know, there's so many low-class people that you imagine they even become agitated with their mother. The verse says, no, my friend, no, it's not for shudra. Even a man of wisdom, it says there, he may be disturbed. Even a great personality. So, this is a very important point. Anyway, we have come to 6 o'clock, so I just want to point out the different points, although I may not analyze them. Another point being made here throughout this story has to do with the relationship between guru and disciple. And it is a very interesting, just like in eighth canto we have just studied about the rejection of guru by Bali Maharaj. Here we have another special situation. That is also an exception. So here we have another exception of the acting of guru. In that other situation, Bali Maharaj, he had to reject, of course, one of his gurus, because his true guru in some way was Prahlad Maharaj also. But his direct guru that was with him there, he had to reject because he had become a stumbling block in the main thing of life, which is to serve Krishna. Here we have another special instance of relationship with guru, in which, as we know, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, that normally we are seeking, we are singing daily, that we are seeking the mercy of the spiritual master and not his curse. So here, a spiritual master is cursing a disciple. And because of his attitude, this is so interesting, that in this case he did not reject or become critical, but our text of today says that he accepted the curse with folded hands. Very nice way. And it is very interesting how, in spite that he was cursed, it was because of his attitude, it was Krishna's desire, as we have read in the other verses, that still, instead of becoming the Shudra that his guru told him he would be, he went all the way back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. So there are many interesting points in relationship with this relationship of the spiritual master and the disciple. And another point being made in the text relating to today have to do with the attitude he adopted, the attitude of the devotee. And this is also very important, how still in the midst of the difficulty, he did not become discouraged that he was like this cursed, and he just surrendered himself more to Krishna. And he took this attitude of just, for example, being pleased with whatever was available by the grace of the Lord to maintain body and soul together. I wanted just to, at least one of the quotes I brought, to read it out, because this is one of our main worries, as some of you may already know, and I inform here in general, that in the last board meeting, we were discussing on that we should try, we are trying very hard now, to create some facilities, more facilities, for devotees to have less worries about maintenance, so much that we should create facilities for devotees to be truly able to engage in the spiritual activities, direct spiritual activities of Krishna consciousness. Of course, Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita 18,